This program is a paid commercial announcement from Jacob Media Partners and does not reflect the views of WPHT or its management. Today's program is pre-recorded.
We've never experienced a year like 2020. A deadly pandemic, political division, social unrest, natural disasters. Yet, we're still here, and now so are the holidays.
Hi, I'm John Dougherty. May this holiday season bring you joy and peace. May 2021 be a better year for all of us. We wish you a Merry Christmas and a happy and healthy new year.
Happy holidays from IBEW Local 98.
WPHD, WPHD, HD, WOGL, HD3, Philadelphia, a radio.com station. Now, live from the Malamut & Associates Law Studios.
This is Style with Stevola. Style with Stevola Sanchez, Philly's superstar of design and the self-proclaimed creator of tomorrow's unique style. Style with Stevola and his friends from around the fashion globe. And now, one of Philadelphia's most iconic providers of everything style, Stevola Sanchez. Stevola Sanchez.
Hello, welcome to the show, and thank you for tuning in. Tonight is part two of Style with Stevola Holiday Spectacular. So last week, I had four of my favorite people in the world on the show. So Sal from D'Angelo's Restaurant, one of my favorite restaurants here in Philadelphia. They are offering takeout of the Seven Fishes for Christmas Eve. So if you haven't ordered, please do support, you know, the restaurants and local and small businesses. Cortland Carr and Stephen Lorick, who just had a holiday concert live from their recording studio. I hope you guys saw it. It was incredible. They are so, so talented. And the incredible makeup artist, Frank Joseph, who gave us tips on how to look your best on Zoom. I will never look shiny again on camera. So tonight, I have two more of my favorite people to share with you all. If you have not finished your Christmas shopping and need a last-minute gift for a loved one, or need some advice on pairing wine with your holiday meals, stay with us. They both have amazing style and are very inspiring. So my first guest is an incredible jewelry designer, Gretchen Ventura. The moment I saw her jewelry and her, like, amazing, I was a huge fan. Beautiful, elegant, and unique, just like her. And my second guest is a brother from another mother who knows it all when it comes to wine pairing. You don't want to miss this. Stay tuned.
Now back to Style with Stevola.
Welcome back to the show. I am so excited to introduce the founder and designer of the incredible Gretchen Ventura Jewelry. Gretchen Ventura, hello, welcome to the show.
Hello, Stevola. I'm so happy to be here.
Thank you so much for taking the time to this interview. And I mean, you have the most incredible jewelry. You're so talented, and I'm just so, so grateful to have you on the show. So thank you.
You couldn't be more kind. Thank you so much.
So the listeners out there in Radioland get to know you a little bit. Just give us a quick background of yourself.
Sure. Absolutely. Well, first of all, I live in Minneapolis, Minnesota, center of the country, but I get to Philadelphia quite often and around the nation, actually, showing my jewelry. So it's quite a bit of fun. But I've lived here for, 40 years or so. I come from Racine, Wisconsin. Mm-hmm. I have a couple of kids, a couple of grandkids, and
amazing.
I really love what I do. This is my second career. I was in technology for over 35 years. If you can imagine the different sides of the brain I've had to work with, or I choose
wow.
to work with. Yeah. So I ran very large national and international technology consulting firms and had my own firm for about a dozen years and transitioned to jewelry. And that's a whole nother story, but I'll stop there for the moment.
Yes. Well, okay. So let's talk about, so when did you start this business?
About 9 years ago, I always had colleagues and other artists make jewelry for me. I would select the stones and we'd kind of co-create something. And I had an unfortunate experience about, I think close to 9 years ago, I had a bunch of surgeries and I had some issues. And while I was recovering, I thought, what could I do with my time that I would enjoy? And I started making jewelry. And I didn't plan on it being a business. I just planned on it to bring me some joy in the moment. And I actually visited New York City. Uh-huh. I went into an Urban Zen store, which is Donna Karan's latest label.
She's yes, had it for yes, a number very familiar. Yep. Beautiful
yes,
stuff.
I'll bet you. So I went into her store shopping, and sure enough, she was there, and she saw my jewelry, and she purchased on the spot 14, 15 of my pieces. And
wow.
Put me in each of her Urban Zen stores. And so that was the start of my business. I really did not intend on this becoming a business, but she supports the artisan. She's a wonderful leader in supporting the artisan around the world. And she supported me, and she got me on the start to a business. It's crazy, but I love her for it. And I love that she helped me out. I really appreciate it. She wants to create something and has created something called a soulful economy. Mm-hmm. And so I was included in her vision of a soulful economy.
Wow, that's amazing. So let me ask you, so say if, like, I mean, I've seen your jewelry, I'm a huge fan, but if someone hasn't seen it, how would you describe mm-hmm. it? How would you describe it to someone?
Sure. Well, my tagline that one might see if you look on my website or my Instagram is raw, luxe, worldly, and powerful. And I think that suits it really pretty well. I use a lot of raw diamonds. Mm-hmm. Many different types of diamonds. My favorite are the raw, though. So it combines the juxtaposition of that raw with the luxe. And I use a lot of elements, worldly elements, and they're statement pieces often. And so that's where the powerful comes in. And it's really for the woman who wants to be distinctive, wants to express their own personal art through their jewelry. Mm-hmm. I tend to dress pretty simply. I'm a Rick Owens girl, but I typically dress very simply in Rick or something like Rick, often black. And I use that as a backdrop to express myself through the art of my jewelry. And
so
that's really the woman that it suits, someone who's globally traveled and is love with the arts and music and architecture and culture and entertaining and food, and who as well is interested in something soulful and meaningful. Just like yeah. Donna called her vision and soulful economy, I call my jewelry soulful jewelry. My customers have called my jewelry soulful jewelry. And that is really important to me because it comes
that.
From a meaning, self-expression, sustainability, and that's the feel that one gets.
I love it. Well, I have to concur. I mean, I have a piece and I'm obsessed with it. And honestly, I mean, even like during this time, I mean, it's tough for everyone out there, but I mean, I just will, you know, shower one because we're all at home, but I mean, you know, get dressed and put on just like jeans and a t-shirt. But then when I put on the piece, it just makes me feel so amazing. You know, it touches, like you said, it touches my soul. It's incredible. And I just feel like, you know, when I put on the piece of jewelry, it's like, you know, I can conquer the day.
Oh, that makes me so very happy. That's the greatest gift and reward that I can get, is to elevate someone. I'm trying to bring beauty to a spiritual pursuit. That's the vision behind what I do. And to hear that you feel that way makes me exceptionally happy. So thank you so much for that.
Oh, you're welcome. You're welcome. We met at Joan Chep in Philadelphia, which is one of the best stores here in the city. But
fabulous.
Yes, yes. And I mean, just to see your work and who you are, like you just radiate this, like this great spirit, and it shows in what you create. And I think that's so important for, you know, for even future designers out there that want to start something. Like, you really have to show, you have to have so much emotion behind it, so it shows through your product. And then in turn, it like translates to your customers, or, you know, right?
Yeah. Right. That's what I hear. That's what I experience from my customers. And I love building relationships with my customers so that I can even design with them in mind and build on the collections they have. There is a collection at Jones Shep, a small collection. So if someone were in Philly and wanted to take a look and peek, there mm-hmm. are some pieces there. Of course, I have my website. And yes. I travel around under normal circumstances and do personal appearances at Neiman Marcus. I actually just did a couple in Texas last week. It was super fun.
Amazing.
Super fun to be in front of customers.
Right, right. I mean, it's just wonderful, right, when your creations are. I want to ask you, besides Donna Karan, have you seen your piece on, you know, when you see, or let me ask this in a different way. Like, when was there a moment when you just saw your product on someone and it just made you feel so incredible?
Well, for sure, Donna Karan. When she had a bunch of bracelets on, it was a moment for me that I don't even know if I can describe. It just made me feel so good because she loved it. And it looked so great on her. It really worked with her style. There's a couple of other celebrities that I've seen my pieces on that was so much fun. Cindy Crawford.
Oh, love her.
Pieces, Roseanne Arquette, Cheryl Teagues. Even John Hardy's wife purchased one. And if you're familiar with the jewelry designer John Hardy, that was yes. a beautiful moment. I think that incredible designer's wife would want one of my pieces. It was really fantastic.
That's amazing. Now, let me back up for a second, because you did mention something that I thought was important, and I kind of want to dig into this a little bit. But there there is a very cool and beautiful rawness, right, to your your designs and your pieces. How and why do you choose these certain metals and stones? Like, what makes it so unique and different compared to other jewelry lines?
Yeah, I think the rawness is one of those. And, you know, I've evolved my look and feel. Every season I have a new collection, and I've gotten more refined in some collections. I now have a 14-carat to 22-carat collection that's very much more elegant and refined for everyday use. It's, lots of different paper clip diamond pendants, clasps and heavy
beautiful
link chains with varying pendants, and you kind of make your own and can switch them out. So that's on the more elegant side, and those are things that I personally now wear every day. I kind of stack them up, four or five necklaces at a time. And then I have different collections that are inspired by what's happening in the world. So example,
please share.
I have a collection called the Protection Collection. These can all be seen on my website. But the Protection Collection started out with quartz crystal, fairly chunky pieces that I wrapped the tops in sterling silver and embedded raw diamonds in each of them. And wow. So, of course, if you are into the energy of stones, we understand that crystals have very, very high form of energy. And one of the aspects is for protection. So mm-hmm. during this COVID year, I could think of nothing better than to do my little gift to the world and providing something to someone which would allow them to feel just a little more safe and a little more protected. I do it in black tourmaline, which is a great protective stone, in aquamarine, in smoky quartz, and even in malachite. I've branched out into a little color. But the protection collection is just kind of a current moment, and I love them. I'll probably always have them in my collections.
Amazing. Let me ask you, where is your jewelry made? Is it made here?
Well, I design the components, mm-hmm. and I also put the components together in my studio in Minneapolis, Minnesota. The components are made either, though, in India and Thailand are probably my primary. Mm-hmm. And doing a lot of international business. A lot of this morning I spent talking to one of my ateliers, if you will, in going back and forth with drawings and sketches and working on some new spring lines, which I'm pretty excited about, actually.
I cannot wait to see. That's amazing. So really, truly, I mean, you are the one who creates every single piece. So it's really made from you and your heart.
Yes, I create. Thank you for pointing that out. I do create every single piece. And I put the components here just in a way that is just naturally flows, that makes sense. And what that means is most of my work are one-of-a-kind pieces. I do have a handful or so of pieces that are limited edition, but pretty highly limited limited numbers of pieces.
Yep.
So the other part of the artistry is I consider it a piece of art, and you're not going to find varying people walking around with the same pieces.
Right. Amazing. Amazing. Well, Gretchen, we have to take a break. There's so much more to discuss, but you guys, please stay tuned. This is such a great interview, and we have more with Gretchen Ventura after the messages. Stay tuned. Welcome back. You are here with me, Stevela, and you're listening to Style with Stevela. I am here with the incredibly talented Gretchen Ventura, and we were just talking about how this jewelry that she designs and how amazing it is, and she actually designs every single piece, which is pretty, pretty incredible. So Gretchen, we have so much more to talk about. Let me ask you, before we move on, is there anything else that you wanted to add just about like how, you know, you create every piece?
Yeah, I think your question actually was about how do I choose which materials?
Oh, yes.
And I answered that. So thank you. Please kind of remind me. Most of my pieces, 98% of my pieces include some form of diamond, and those range from anywhere from pave diamonds to rose cut diamonds to diamond slices, all the way to raw diamonds, which really are my favorite because they're just so unique and interesting, and they give the fire and glow like a diamond, but they're in their rawest form, which I really, really love. And initially, I was just doing everything in sterling silver. I still do quite a bit in sterling. And then I do gold plate, and I'm super into gold right now. It's probably the primary that I wear myself. And then I think earlier I'm doing increasingly more 14 to 22 karat gold. And a lot of my metals I have as a matte finish, not a super shiny finish. And that also reflects the rawness of the jewelry. I do a lot. The sterling is typically oxidized, and I personally chemically treat the sterling silver chains, for example, to get a certain patina to them. And
beautiful.
So let
me just ask you one thing, because and it's more of an educational question, because I mean, I don't understand a lot about jewelry. I do appreciate it, and I love it. I mean, I wear it every single day. Like I said, I put your piece on and I feel so like powerful. It's because it's just such a great piece. But when you talk about a raw diamond, just explain that a little more. What does that mean, a raw diamond, to like a non-raw diamond?
It's a really good question. I wish I could visually show you what it looks like, but it's more like a chunk, if you will. So diamond slices, for example, they come out when one is cutting a more traditional cut of diamond, and they're slicing away at the girdle of the diamond. And those slices are now used in other pieces. The raw diamond is kind of similar. It's either a mined diamond, which is earthed from the ground in a way that either the quality or the shape is not appropriate for cutting into a fine diamond. So it's really just left as a natural looking chunk, I guess you would say.
Right, right.
And some of it is also pieces that are carved away when a diamond cutter is cutting out from a raw diamond to create a fine diamond. So it's a byproduct of that. So you're really using, that's where the sustainability comes in.
Uh-huh.
You're using all the aspects of a diamond, which I really, really, really love.
And I love that.
Yeah, I primarily use conflict-free diamonds, and I primarily use recycled metals.
Amazing. That's really, really interesting and very informative, because when you think about it, like, you know, you, when you think about a diamond, you think about it and it, like, certainly, you know, they say there are certain shapes. So that's actually comes from, I mean, obviously it comes from a raw diamond, but it's chiseled away to create that shape, which becomes a fine diamond. Interesting.
Right.
Oh my God, thank you so much for sharing that. That was like really amazing and very informative.
Good, good.
Now I have to say, because when you know, we met, and just I'm a huge fan. I keep saying that, I know, because I'm so obsessed with it, with your collections. How do you see, or are there any like trends in jewelry, or do you have a certain style, or how do you wear jewelry? That was like three questions in one, so maybe we could break it down.
Let me see. Well, one big trend, which is why I started doing this 14 to 22 carat collection, are these link chains with link diamond clasps with varying pendants. So there's a number of designers that are doing this now, and certainly not the first, but I'm doing my own take on it. That's
right.
A big trend and a big, big interest is more and more solid gold, and more that can be created to be your own unique piece. So when I show, I have, you know, a dozen different types of chains. I have a dozen different types of diamond clasps, like these paperclip clasps.
Yep.
And then I have many of the pendants. So I work with each collector, and we help put together a piece. And then they say, you know, I'm going to have my husband buy another pendant for Valentine's Day. And so they continue to grow the collection, and they add multiple pieces onto the link chains. Mm-hmm. That's a big, big trend, and it's fun, and I wear that myself every day.
Yeah. Yeah. I do notice, too, that which I think is really beautiful, you personally, you tend to layer a lot, which I think is so cool.
I do. I wear a lot of jewelry at one time, and I know most do not, but some do. I'll wear, of the gold links that we were just talking about, I might wear three or four or five layered together, and I try to make them different lengths. So it kind of creates one shield, if you will,
right,
of a longer, bigger piece. Of the larger, longer pieces, I probably wear three different lengths. I can stack five.
Yeah, I just want to jump in really quick. Sorry to interrupt you, but just I love the idea that you do that and that you're not afraid to do that. I mean, you are the designer and the creator, but also at the same time, like, what would you? How do I ask this? What would you suggest if somebody wanted to try that type of look? What would your advice be to them?
I think my advice would be to find one piece that you truly love, and then either look through that designer's website and see what might be compatible with that one piece. And they shouldn't be looking the same. They should be different, but have some form of symmetry, and try to identify the different lengths so that you see each piece cascading down.
Right. Beautiful.
If you were doing this with one of my pieces of jewelry, I would talk to you on the phone, we'd FaceTime, we'd email or text. I might take pictures or videos and help someone figure out how to put a number of pieces together.
I love that. So you actually do that for your customers. That's amazing.
I do. It's fun.
So let's talk about your website. So first of all, where can people find you? Because I think that's, I mean, everyone who's listening out there, you have to check this website out. I mean, even if you're not buying something, it is so much fun to browse, and it's beautiful, beautiful work. So please share.
Thank you. I'd love to have your listeners take a peek. It's GretchenVentura.com, or to shorten it, it's also GVentura.com. And I'd love and so appreciate your followers to follow me as well on Instagram. And yes. I do quite a bit of customer shots and other unique photographs that you don't see on my website. And my Instagram is Gretchen Ventura Jewelry, and would love a follow.
Amazing. Amazing. So now there's also, like, on your website, I noticed that you have, like, you do men's one in addition to all of the women's. And then you also have a separate segment of price points. So can you break that down for everybody?
Thank you so much for bringing that up.
Yeah.
I, maybe a year and a half ago, decided to do a diffusion line, which I call GBV, lowercase GBV, which are my initials. And that diffusion line provides the same or similar look and feel, probably a much more scaled down version. And the price points are $195 to $995. So it does provide a customer who isn't interested in a higher price point and getting kind of the look for less.
Well, I think that's really important. One, I mean, it's on your website, but to what you just mentioned, because when you think about diamonds and you think about jewelry and you think about, you know, sterling silver and gold and all this other stuff, it immediately people have an idea of a price point and may, like, not go there, which I feel like it's great because you have a whole range, which I think is really important. And they're beautiful pieces, and they do include some of those amazing metals and diamonds, which I think is really great.
Diamonds, yes.
Yeah,
yeah.
It's so good. Okay, so really quickly, today, what currently inspires you? I just want the listeners to, so we can end off on this point.
My travels, and I've had the opportunity to travel the world and to meet people and to see how different countries and cultures adorn themselves as their way of projecting their art. And my spirituality, without going into great deal, but it is constantly my focus and my inspiration.
I love it. Gretchen, you are so inspiring to me. And thank you again for coming on the show. This has been truly an honor. And I can't wait to buy a gazillion more pieces from you.
Thank you. This is such an honor for me. I so appreciate having me on, and I adore you. Thank you so much.
Thank you. All right, guys. Well, stay tuned, because if you are, you know, wondering what type of wines you should be pairing with your holiday meals, stay tuned, because we have Oberyn on and he's going to give us some tips.
This is Style with Stevola. Style with Stevola.
Welcome back to Style with Stevola. So we just wrapped with the amazing Gretchen Ventura. Check out her jewelry. She's incredible. Not only an incredible human being, but also an incredible designer. And now we have one of my faves, a brother from another mother, Oberyn Milanovic. He is the director of wine at Roseline. Welcome, Oberyn. How you doing?
I'm great, Steve. Thank you for having me. Great to hear your voice.
Yes, yes. Oh my gosh, I feel like we're gonna catch up on the show, but we'll have to save that for another
call. Totally.
Exactly.
But, don't get too personal.
Right. But you, okay. So I mean, you are like an amazing human being, and you're like an Oberyn of all trades. But there's one thing that, you know, I mean, you inspire me in many ways, but one thing that I think is really incredible is you are a sommelier. Correct?
Correct.
So that's one of your many, many things that that inspire me so much. But you being a sommelier, can you explain just to all of us in Radioland, like, what that exactly is or what that means? That might be a stupid question, but...
Oh, no, not at all. Not at all. And again, thanks for having me on. So I think, well, in the literal translation of sommelier is actually butler. But over the centuries, it's sort of evolved. And I guess...
Wait,
the,
did you... Sorry to interrupt you. Did you say you butler?
Butler, exactly.
Oh, wow.
It's actually the direct translation. But of course, now it means more of wine steward. But essentially, the modern version is person trained in both wine service and wine knowledge. The wine service part is usually forgotten, but that's sort of the loose definition.
Exactly. Okay.
And it is sort of, you know, there's all sorts of, you know, definitions on what that is. But generally speaking, it's overlooked by the Court of Master Sommeliers, and there's like four different levels that you can reach, with four being, you know, Master Sommeliers, you know, just really crazy savants that spend their life about wine. So- Yeah.
So your current role, you're the director of wine at Rosaline, which is an incredible restaurant in Los Angeles. So if you're listening out there and you happen to be in Los Angeles, you got to check it out. And well, I mean, now we're going through the I think another lockdown, right?
Yeah, unfortunately, yeah.
But when things are up and running again, you got to check this restaurant out and ask for Oberyn.
Please, I'll pour you some wine.
Yeah. So being the director of wine, like, what does that mean?
So essentially, like, you know, the restaurant that I run is a really great restaurant, which is kind of has Peruvian fusion. Essentially, is kind of our cuisine, which is a really super kind of fun cuisine to pair with. That's not just your traditional steakhouse or, you know, it's really kind of opens the door for a lot of fun stuff. But in terms of my role, I build the wine program. I choose what we pour by the glass. I build our cellar, put what's on the list, rotate it out, take inventory, price it. All those kind of like textbook things that a wine director does. But the best part of my job is when people dine, talking to them one-on-one about what they think is yummy, what they're looking for, and try to pair it with what they're eating. So that's the fun part.
Wow, that's awesome. I mean, I do want to mention and just give a shout out to all the restaurants out there. You know that it's a difficult time right now, but you know, hopefully,
for sure,
we will, you know, get over this hurdle and get back to some sort of whatever the new normal is going to be. But it's been tough. But I wanted to ask you though, and because you're just so knowledgeable and you know so much about wines, like can you share like some holiday, you know, pairings depending on, you know, what people are having for their traditional holiday meal?
Well, for sure. I mean, absolutely. I mean, you're right. This is, you know, a very special time of year, great food, decadent, you know, we're all looking to pop a bottle for a variety of reasons, right?
Right. Even if you're alone.
It's maybe especially so. but no, I mean, I think definitely, you know, right now, I mean, of course, I mean, it's the holidays. So even though, you know, we're in weird times, you know, I think, you know, everything starts and ends with bubbles, I think, you know, during this period, right?
Yep.
I think that's what's so glorious about, you know, champagne, for instance, right? It's like, no matter, you can't be depressed and drink a bottle of champagne. You know,
right.
You can't.
That's true.
I mean, you can do that. You know, there's something about champagne. They call it the wine of the gods. You know, there's something about it that just kind of lifts your spirits. It's elegant, fun, pretty. And I think it just kind of lifts sort of spirit. So I think, you know, certainly starts with there, and, you know, champagne obviously works great, or bubbles in general with, like, you know, cheese like brie, things that are salty like prosciutto. Obviously for those more decadent households, if you're drinking caviar, things, eating caviar and things like that. But certainly I think, you know, it starts and ends with bubbles. But one thing that I'll say too, because, you know, like, obviously this is tough time. Some of us are on a budget, maybe more than usual.
Right. Absolutely.
The one negative about champagne is that it's not cheap. Right. So there are definitely, you know, sparkling wines,
out there that give you a lot of bang for your buck and that are alternatives to what they've been paying, right? I work with Latin American foods and wine all the time. And cava, for instance, is really sort of an underrated sparkling wine. I think sometimes it's overthought about this sort of being the cheap thing that nobody really knows about, right? But
yeah.
it's actually really great wine. It's not as bready as champagne generally is. It's usually a bit of a more bright, but it's made in the exact same way that champagne is made, just with simply different grapes. So if you're looking to just kind of get, you know, you don't want to spend $40 on a bottle,
right.
You can really buy good, decent cava for $10 to $12. So I think that's a great option as well in terms of something to just sort of open up.
That's awesome. I love that. I'm just made a note. I'm going to look that up and order some. Because these, exactly. Like right now, we are definitely on a budget.
Without question. Without question.
Let me ask you something that, what do you think about wine that comes in a box?
You know, it's funny you should mention that. It's like a long story, which I won't go into, but I randomly found myself on a film set in West Virginia. Uh-huh. A couple of years ago, and we were in the boonies, right? And of course it was like really fun time. And the only thing that they had at the store that they were buying for everybody was bottled wine, right? And I remember at first because I've been dealing with for so long in fine dining restaurants and having access to really some great stuff, being very fortunate with that. I'm like, oh boy, boxed wine. But I got to muscle through this. But it's surprising. Yes, a lot of that stuff can be just very terrible and very open, but not all of it. I think it all depends on, here's the thing about wine that's really cool. It all depends on the mood. Like you could have like some crazy, expensive bottle of wine, right? But
right.
If you're on a picnic on top of a mountain with just a couple friends, it might not feel right to drink it, even if the wine is amazing, right?
Right, right.
Whereas sometimes, depending upon, the mood, maybe you're just with a bunch of friends and it's totally relaxed. There's nothing wrong with boxed wine at all. So I think my short answer is like any type of wine, you sort of have to sift through the market to find the stuff that's actually good. And sort of pair it with, the kind of the attitude that you're drinking with. I think that matters too. So I'm definitely I don't seek out boxed wine, but nor do I just kind of put my nose up at it.
No, and I think that's important because there's certain myths or thoughts out there where a good wine needs to be expensive, and it's not necessarily so. Which
completely.
you just had mentioned with the sparkling wine out there that's a bit underrated. I think it's really important. It's also like you said, it's mood and what you're kind of in the mood for and taste.
Absolutely, so, I couldn't agree with you more. And one thing I'll say for like Steve, you're like the master genius designer, right? And you designed stuff for me before. Right. And does does clothes have to be expensive? Not if you know how to shop. Right.
Right.
So I think wine is the same thing. And one thing I'll say to anyone that's listening too, something to just like when you're out there, shopping in the market, give the Pacific Northwest a try because, everybody wants to buy California wine. It's what we know. Same thing with France. You put the Napa and certainly California makes incredible wine. But at the same time, that market is also still saturated. Too much wine and just things hit the marketplace just because companies have money. But I think, if you try wines in Oregon and Washington as opposed to California, maybe during this holiday season, you're probably going to get more lucky if you're buying blind because if they've made it into the market, it's usually because they're pretty good. Whereas with California wines, it's just could be just because, you're competing with, a company that has a lot of commercial market. You know what I mean?
Yes. You're amazing. That was so, so helpful and incredible. Thank you. We're running out of time, so I just want to ask you and leave off on this one funny question. If I was a wine, describe me.
That's the best question I think I've ever heard, Steven. No, without question, if you were wine, you are 100% high-end champagne rosé. No question about it, right?
Fancy. I love it.
You're fruity, you're fancy, and with just the right amount of skin contact on the grapes so that the color of the juice comes out pink. that's Stevola.
I'll take it. I'll take it. Well, Oberyn, oh my gosh, we're out of time, but thank you. Thank you. Thank you for coming on. I'm going to have you on again because I mean, we, that was just like a little glimpse of all that, you know, and there's so much more about you as a person that I think like everyone would love to learn more about you. So, but thank you for coming on. And I really, really, really appreciate you taking the time to do this interview.
Oh, thank you, Steve. You're the best. Merry Christmas to everyone and look forward to talking.
Yes, Merry Christmas. And everybody out there, thank you for listening, but we are out of time. So I hope everyone out there stays safe and has a wonderful holiday. And I'll be around. Same time, same place. Peace out.
Thanks for listening to Style with Stevola, a Jacob Media production. If you're interested in learning more about the power of the radio hour, contact Joe Kraus at 267-261-3428. This program is a paid commercial announcement and does not reflect the views of WPHT or its management. Today's program has been pre-recorded.